Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
Taking it away with some takeaways almost coming in a second. Very, very exciting today to be joined by Sam Harmony.
Yep, that is my name that my mum didn't name me.
The one and only. Hey, it's all right. Mums get used to it.
Yeah.
I'm actually really, really pumped for this top 10 tonight.
Good.
I've been given a sneak preview of the topic.
Well, I actually ran it by you because I was a little bit nervous putting together a top 10.
Well,
this is a scary proposition, I got to say.
It's like, you know, we get the music people on here and I tell them, you know, I say, you can't do music. I don't care. I don't care what justification you have. It's not going to be about music. And sometimes I just yell at people for no reason. Keeps me feeling powerful.
It's that kind of a time, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's that just kind of screaming at people down the street.
I've just got to do anything to keep myself feeling like I'm in control.
Well, I was going to do dystopian films or television series. Then I thought, no one really wants to be reminded that we live in a dystopian time. So I didn't do that. Just a little spoiler, I didn't do that. That was not my top 10.
Would you like to introduce the real subject of your top 10?
Yes, I would love to. So I have done the top 10 Whittaker's Family Size flavors.
Oh, pumped. Now, you've specified family size.
Yeah.
Are there flavors that are available not in family size?
Well, I was just saying, this, I'm not referring to slab, and I think slab versus
slabs, it's a whole own category.
Well, I think slab changes the order. I think the format affects how I rank.
That's true. I guess I've never bought a family size peanut bar, right?
This is
I
what
don't
I'm
think has anyone?
Well, this is interesting that you mentioned it that way, because this is why I'm ranking thusly.
I guess on that note, we should get into the proper numbering. Here is
10.
Number 10, Almond Gold.
Almond Gold.
Almond
Gold's a real classic, and I'm surprised it's come in so low. Now, what's your justification for that?
Here's my reasoning on that. And just by the way, there's 20 flavors, so I've cut. There's 10 that have missed out completely.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had star signs on here once, and somehow Jen managed to cut more than just two.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Wow, that is an incredible portion.
Quite a fancy looking meal has
beautiful,
just arrived. Thank
beautiful.
You, Kitty. So, sorry, Almond Gold.
Almond Gold. So by getting to 10, it's actually doing good. It's not at the end, it's in the middle.
It's better than 50. It's in the top whatever percent, 50 percentile.
Exactly. So I'm not dissing Almond Gold. I think it's a nice flavor, but I prefer it in slab form, and hence why it comes in at 10.
Very interesting.
And also, I will say this. If you want a family-size Almond Gold, just get scorched almonds.
Is that's a whole different, like, mouth experience, though,
exactly,
isn't
but
it?
It's a better mouth experience.
Better mouth, okay.
And scorched, anything with scorched in the name.
I've just always been intrigued by gold because it has its own, like, that gold, that little gold emblem.
It does.
You'd think that would be on more than one bar. Like, it looks like a series.
It's reserved for Almond Gold, and here's why I think it is reserved for Almond Gold.
Okay.
Because Almond Gold needs to differentiate itself from this, number 9.
Shit!
9.
That was such a good segue, it wasn't even ready.
Peanut Slab, which
Peanut
comes
slab.
In at number 9. And this is why these two are coming in 9 and 10, because they're both slabbier.
They're slabbier.
They're
yeah.
slabbier than family size-y. And that's not a diss to the flavor, but I would prefer both of these in slab form, and hence they come in at 9 and 10.
Yeah, I feel like the family size is like an inherent compromise for these ones. Like, it's taken away something essential about.
Not just that, but you don't really want to binge on them.
No.
You want a slab of them, and then it's done.
Where do you stand on the king size slab?
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
I'm a traditionalist in general about everything that I do. I prefer a manual car.
Yeah.
I play records occasionally.
You're wearing a button-up shirt.
I wear
no zips or clasps there.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
8.
All right, here we go. Dark cacao, 60%.
Oh, a powerful flavor.
Now, I didn't go dark Ghana 90% because I am not...
Too much for most people.
That's a masochistic kind of an impulse, I think. Like, it's if you are, like, on a diet and you actually don't want a pound, like, you buy it and you're like, I don't want to eat this all at once. And then you literally cannot physically eat it all at once because it's too intense.
It is. It does have its own kind of physical barrier in place.
It's like Turkish coffee. You know, I can see why you're attracted to it, but most people find it palatable because they pour in more sugar than in Coca-Cola into it.
Okay.
And that's because it tastes horrendous. And dark cacao...
Some kind of hot takes delivered in a very offhand style here. I hope people are registering the kind of the disdain for
dark
various...
cacao is still 10% darker than the 50%, which I forget, which I think is just called... Actually, let me consult my...
It's incredible that in 20 flavors they've reserved so many for just percentages dark.
I think there's... it's a testament to Whittaker's quality that the true chocolate, the cacao aficionados...
Yeah.
They mess with different percentages of cacao.
If you're a real cacao head, you dark. Can get that 90%.
So dark block is 50%.
Ooh.
Dark Ghana is 72, and dark cacao is just in the middle there. It's the medium spice at Uncle Man's at 62%.
Very solid.
So that comes in at number 8.
All right.
7.
This was really hard now. Once we got to 7, it got very difficult
to rank. I'm going to need to refresh myself on the whole list, because there are like...
Well, I don't want to ruin it, because then you're going to start thinking, oh, it must be that, it must be that.
Also, are these just the current flavors, or are you including some of the novelty ones in here?
Okay, so I have deliberately not included any novelty ones, but also that's because I don't think any of them are good enough.
Yeah, I was going to gonna say, like, would the pink and blue ones...
That's just for tourists.
Would the gender reveal Whittaker's even rank?
That's for tourists only, you know, with the artisanal Samoan vanilla, and like, I think only noobs fall for that.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I'm saying. All right, number 7.
Number 7.
I've given it, this is hard, I anguished over this for literally minutes. Rum and raisin.
Rum and raisin?
Yeah.
Some people might say an elderly person's chocolate.
Very elderly, but it's also kinda... very yummily.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. There's no diss. Basically, all of these, I don't want to... It seems like I'm sliding them.
See, for me, rum and raisin has a similar issue to the 90%. It's like, you have two little squares of it, and you're like, I can never eat again.
Oh, see, that's where you and I are different.
Maybe you just got a stronger stomach for rum.
I love me... Hey, love me a rum.
I guess you are a traditionalist.
I am. Exactly.
Yeah, in so many ways.
Exactly.
All right. Rum and raisin.
Yeah. Rum and raisin the roof.
We've got a text in here. I agree with the slab. Peanut slab seems a low-cost approach. Spend another $1 for macadamia or roasted almond or anything but peanut. I guess they're asking for a slab opinion here. Peanut, is that top of the range for slabs? Or are you going to spend that extra dollar, get the macadamia slab, a little taste of Australia?
Yeah, see, macadamia doesn't even come in the family size. It's a slab-only option.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think it's quite a rich... I think they must have tested that.
Maybe only for the purists.
Mm. Or there's just not that many Australians who've done the other way. You know, come over here instead of moving to Melbourne to be a barista.
Yeah.
I'm actually moving to Christchurch to become a barista.
Oh, do you want to come and visit my polykill?
From Victoria. I'm from Victoria, just moving to Christchurch to become a barista. Doesn't happen that often, so the macadamia slab market is a little bit cornered with just the slab, perhaps. Anyway, what I wanted to say is peanut slab wins because it was there first.
Oh.
And I think... it was perfect in its formation.
I'm an almond slab gal. I'm going to throw my hands up here.
And that's no diss.
But that's... know? I just like the flaky bits that get in your teeth. Number 6.
6.
So we didn't... Rum and raisin was 7. And this is why it was so hard. Because actually 7 through 5, it was hard to split them. Could be just like how humid it was today. 6 was berry and biscuit.
Berry and biscuit.
Yeah.
Very interesting. See, this is almost a novelty flavor, right?
Oh, I don't know. It's like they took the chewy bit fruit from the fruit and nut and called it berry. And they mix it with a little crunchy bit of biscuit. And they called that one biscuit.
Yeah.
And they made berry and biscuit. And for me, it is a mood thing. Sometimes I don't want nut. I want biscuit with my little chewy jube.
Okay. Now, some people out there might be saying... hey now, Sam, a berry biscuit is just a poor man's Black Forest.
They might say that, but there is no Black Forest in the Whittaker's flavour catalogue. So it's like, either you get fruit and nut, or you get berry and biscuit. And sometimes you feel like berry and biscuit.
I sense you're dodging the question there, but it is time to play some music, so maybe we can hammer this out off air.
Yeah, yeah.
Number five.
Your number five tonight is Moody V and the Menstrual Cycle with Girl Dick.
Looking out the window, don't wanna lose.
while you're in bed, holding your head, carving things in the wall while your organs stop.
You are back on the 95 BFM Top 10, and this music, oh, it's faded it up as the music itself was faded. Oh, there you go. Lovely, the tone of that upright bass. That sound means that it is the 95 BFM Small Top 10. We're here with Sam Harmon. Sam is talking about the best of...
Family size Whittaker's flavours. I'm ranking these.
Yeah, so during the break, I was going through the list of the classic flavors that you're working from. Couple of surprise entries in there. How do you feel about Jelly Tip as a classic flavor?
I call bullshit on Jelly Tip. I call major bullshit, and I think that whoever was the ad wizard who came up with that one needs to get out of making decisions for other people. Because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Because that was my, like, in my mind, that was my prime example of, like, a temporary novelty flavor. I didn't realize that was forever.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those ones that, like, limited time only. Everybody try this horrible flavor. And everyone was like, ooh, should we? Ooh, yeah, let's do it. And then they didn't. They were like, this is, it's not just bad. It's that you chose something that you love. You didn't get that week or that day. And instead you chose this horrible flavor that if anybody ever finished a bar and you can find them and track them down and they say, that's my favorite Whittaker's flavor, then I will say that person is a freak. Nothing wrong with being a freak.
I kind of like it.
Get out of here. Do you really? Yeah, Amelia, do you really?
It's one of those things that you have like
once. Okay, you're a freak.
Once every like 6 months and you're like, I never want to eat this again, but I did enjoy the first half of me eating it, even if I didn't finish this whole bar.
But it's not as good as a real Jelly Tip or a real Whittaker's flavor.
No, it does.
It's a horrible compromise.
It does have a strong aftertaste of regret.
There we go.
But, we also have a text saying dark chocolate peppermint all day, bruh.
Yeah, okay. To that text, this is a slight spoiler alert. Dark chocolate peppermint does not feature in the rest of my list. It's not even made the top five.
And it's one of the bottom 10.
Yeah, well, we've got after eights, you know? Yeah. If you want that particular sensation, you reach for the after eight.
Yeah.
You don't reach for Dark Garner Whittaker's IMO.
Okay. And on that note, let's get back into the list.
Okay.
Proper.
So I'll just do a recap.
Five. Oh, sorry.
I'll do a recap.
Do a recap. I can just sing.
10, we've got Almond Gold. 9, we've got Peanut Slab. This is family size, not slab, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
8, Dark Cacao, which is 62%. 7, Rum and Raisin. 6, Berry and Biscuit.
And I'm going to do the same for
drive. 5. Number 5, Fruit and Nut.
Fruit and Nut!
It's an old faithful.
I mean, definitely it is the more traditional cousin of Berry Biscuit, isn't it?
It was hard to split Berry Biscuit, Rum and Raisin, and Fruit and Nut.
I mean, yeah, this three in a row is really kind of, they're sisters, aren't they?
They are. They are sisters or cousins.
Yeah.
You know? They're kind of the same, but actually not the same. And if they fell in love, they probably could get married in some parts of the world.
Yeah, I reckon. I think it's also correct that Berry Biscuit is the Jan in kind of Brady Bunch terminology.
Yeah, I feel that I feel that Brady Bunch terminology. So then Fruit and Nut is what?
It's Marsha.
Marsha.
Yeah.
Right on.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yeah, everyone likes Marsha, goddammit.
Yeah, she wins all the prizes. She has a real boyfriend, not a pretend boyfriend.
I'm going to run out of Brady references really soon because I've forgotten all of their names.
This is a Brady Bunch tattoo. Okay. Right?
Well, you can guide me through it.
You can use this one if you want.
You can guide me through it.
You're just going to say that. Yeah.
Well, I can't even remember all their names. Like the parents, I've forgotten their names. Suzanne Summers, right?
Yeah.
I just say Suzanne.
Suzanne Brady. We have another text. What about Turkish Delight chocolate slab? I'm sensing you're going to think this is another abomination.
Well, it doesn't come in family size.
All right.
So yeah. It's a slab. It's of the slab
excluded
variety.
Excluded on a technicality.
Yeah, same as macadamia, not family size.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about Fruit and Nut, or is it just like an obvious?
Depends on your mood, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Very solid. Mm. Okay.
Four.
All right. Now we get into the really controversial section. I'm starting to really hurt feelings. Number four, I'm going to give it to Creamy Caramel.
Oh, I'm appalled.
Yeah, see, I told you.
I was sure this was in the bottom 10.
No way. Okay, here's why. Hear me out.
Okay.
It's actually better than Caramello, like did the Cadbury Caramello, which probably is the pioneer of the section, but has lost... because it sucks now.
Have they changed the recipe?
Changed the recipe.
Oh, and as a traditionalist, I cannot stand for this.
Well, it just doesn't taste good anymore. And
yeah.
And the Whittaker's Creamy Caramel tastes fantastic. And I encourage you, if you've not had it recently, to really give it another go.
I mean, maybe I should revisit it. But this one seems... it's like... it's just too... too... it's like... fudge, you know?
It is like
it's
fudge.
It's like coconut ice. Like, I feel like I need to leave it in my childhood.
Too sweet. You have to brush your teeth immediately afterwards. I mean, that's a fair thing to say, but boy, it's yummy. Like, it's not... I still think it's on the verge of not too sweet. But...
All right.
And then there's a lot of sugar in there, don't get me wrong.
I mean... and as we discussed off-air, this is not your favorite.
No, this is the universal, definitely definitive, I went door-to-door... while I was also doing the big survey. What's it called? Yeah.
The census.
Yeah, I was a census worker and I had to do this. And I included my own questionnaire about Whittaker's flavours at the time.
I was in a flat once and my flatmate fell in love with our census girl and kept trying to screw up the census so that she would come back.
Oh my God, there's a song in that. Have you written a song about it already?
I've not written a song about it. Maybe I should do that. All right, number three.
Three.
Whew. Three. Bronze medal at the Olympics.
This is so tense.
Whittaker chocolate. It's dairy milk. It's plain old, delicious dairy milk.
Okay, if you'd asked me to bet at the start, I would have said this would be number one. And now I've just been thrown totally off. Like, three is still good, but what's...
Here's why.
Okay.
It's not exceptional. It's just really, really fantastic, you know?
Okay.
And that's why it wins bronze. Like, it's better than a lot of other flavors, but it's not gold medal. Oh my God, you were born to be number one chocolate.
Yeah.
However, no one begrudges dairy milk who likes chocolate.
No.
Even if you're a dark chocolate person and you're like, well, I prefer a darker chocolate or, dare I say, white chocolate. Again, not to spoil the rest of the countdown, but... does not feature in the top 10 because that's, again, it's not universal, that love.
But it's barely even chocolate.
Dairy milk, I will say this about it. You can gift that to anyone from anywhere and chances are they will like it, unless they've got an allergy.
Even then, they'll probably still give it a good go. All right.
As well they should.
Two.
Number two. Maybe if I say this one, it'll give away the winner, perhaps. But
no, I mean, after Dairy Milk came in at number three, I'm baffled. I have nothing.
Okay, here we go. Number two is coconut. Coconut family size.
Big call.
Yeah. And again, like, this is exceptional chocolate.
It is. It does have a very... like, how do you think this compares to other coconut chocolates? Say, a Bounty bar.
Smokes Bounty. Like, Bounty ain't...
You can swear.
Bounty ain't shit. compared to Whittaker's Coconut Slab. And anybody who is a coconut chocolate fan has never had Whittaker's Coconut Slab, and you go, try that, they're like, oh my god, what is that? That has changed my life. You know, it's like a real revelation.
I totally buy this. Like, what are the other things in this category? A summer roll?
Summer roll's dry.
You have to go to Kmart to buy that.
And it sucks. Like,
and it sucks.
It doesn't suck. It's kind of...
It sucks a little bit.
It's got dates in it, which is like, wow, what's got dates in it? And is like a commercially available confectionery product, you know?
Yeah.
But it's no Whittaker's Coconut Block, which I give number two.
I cannot fault you on that. And I mean...
How about... It does come in slab form, actually, this one. But
ooh,
I think...
No.
You want this in family size.
Yeah. You need it in little bits at a time, but then the whole bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Before we reach number one, would you like to do some plugs?
Oh, yeah. Let me plug right now. I, along with the rest of my crew... are throwing a huge party down on Queen's Wharf on Saturday daytime. And now, currently, we announced today we're doing an after party as well on K Road at Studio.
Sick!
It's called Beacon Festival. I'm sure you've heard the ads while you've been driving around today, or maybe this morning, or maybe streaming online in Wellington or something like that.
Nice.
And yeah, it's going to be a really good party.
Anyone fancy playing?
So many fancy people. I don't want to say creepily because I had to do it, but I listened like while on mute to Rachel interviewing Richie Horton today.
That's a get.
It was a huge get, and I got to say, it was a really cool interview, and Rich did a really good job, and I thought he was interesting, but you know, I don't speak for the whole, only speak for Whittaker's chocolate listeners, not for absolutely everybody
in the world.
But it's a really cool interview. It's going to air tomorrow at 8:30. So Richie Horton's playing, Nina Kravitz is playing, Carista's playing, Yob Yobsi is playing, and I found out today that's his real name.
Oh, wow. Sick.
Yeah. I thought it was a moniker. I was like, I wonder what that actually translates to in Dutch, but it's just his name.
Sick.
Yeah. So Yob Yobsi, Scott Bard, Telephones, nice girl. Vanessa Worm is playing again, which I'm very excited about. If you didn't come to Catacombs, then you probably... don't know who she is, maybe. But if you read the spin-off, you might have read an article. I saw a really good tweet from somebody who saw her play at... she closed Strawberry Fields in November. She closed the stage on like a Friday night.
Yeah.
And somebody tweeted at her, or maybe it was on Instagram, but they said, at Vanessa Worm, oh my God, oh, I saw you on Friday. I was in a K-hole. It was terrifying and incredible. Thank you so much. And that is kind of the best way to describe it.
Now, can people buy tickets to this, or is it sold out?
No, you can still buy tickets. Just go to beaconfestival.co.nz.
You'd be a fool not to.
You would be a fool not to.
Now, I don't think this is going to spoil anything, because I think this is too novelty to have made the list, but Doris Plum and Roasted Almond? Not a flavor I've heard of.
I think they're talking about those newfangled flavors. You know what I'm talking about? The specialty, quote unquote. If obviously you tuned in late, I dissed those flavors earlier and said they were for tourists.
Ruthless.
Yeah. Also, the problem with those specialty flavors is the portion. It's like a little squat, flat little.
Yeah.
You know? And I want a solid cube of chocolate or two joined together because I've ham-fistedly smashed my chocolate block.
A beautiful image to go along with those wonderful emails we received earlier.
Yes, exactly.
Are we ready for number one?
Okay.
All right.
Juan.
I'm going to reveal this in person while I announce it, so just bear with me. I have to reach into my bag.
Okay. I'm terrified. I have run out of like...
Number one. Here we go. Hazelnut block! Oh.
It really had to be, didn't it?
I mean, it's just a, like, unless you're allergic to hazelnuts.
Are people allergic to hazelnuts?
Some people are allergic to all sorts of things.
That's the saddest thing I've heard all day.
I was at intermediate with a girl who was allergic to grass. So you can be allergic to a whole lot of things, and I feel sorry for those people. But if you're not one of those people, you too can revel in the wonder that is.
Oh my goodness.
Hazelnut block.
Yeah. Chuck us a piece. Oh, this is so good. I mean, I feel like this doesn't really need any, like, introduction or explanation. It's just a really good chocolate.
It's really delicious, isn't it?
Okay.
Oh, and that's a winner. Hazelnut Block. New Zealand loves you, Hazelnut Block. Don't go changing.
Now, do you want to introduce the song that you've chosen to play us out?
Well, maybe I'll just go over there and make sure it's the right one.
Yeah, yeah, come over and do your thing. Yeah, that's so good. If you needed another reason to go to Beacon Festival... That's it. Yeah, this is the right one? Uh-huh. What is it?
Put it on slowly in the background.
Okay. do you want to introduce it?
I will.
Here's a song.
So this is a it's a song that's actually originally by a Greek electronic composer called Vangelis Katsoulis.
Wonderful.
But it's been remixed by Telephones, and it's kind of his breakout. I would say it's one of his breakout hits, kind of brought him to prominence. And Telephones is playing Beacon, so I thought this is one that I've really enjoyed in my life. I thought I'd bring it along.
Vangelis remixed by Telephones. What else could you ask for?
It's not that Vangelis, by the way. Vangelis.
Different Vangelis.
Well, there's just Vangelis, just a name in Greece, you know, Steve.
Oh, all right.
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.